Okay, thank you all very much. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji to give us a lecture for Srimad Bhagavatam this morning from Canto 4, Chapter 5 and Verse 9. So thank you all again. And Ram Girdhari Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yeah, I am present, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Then with pranam all gurus, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. Please take over the call, Prabhuji, and thank you so much once again.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 5, Text Number 9. Prasuti Mishra Striya Udvigna Chita Uchur Vipako Vrijinasyaiva tasya yat pashyantinam duhitrunam prajesha sutam satim avadat ya anagham. Translation: Prasuti, the wife of Daksha, along with the other women assembled, became very anxious and said, "This danger has been created by Daksha because of the death of Sati, who, even though completely innocent, quit her body as her sisters looked on." Purport. Prasuti, being a soft-hearted woman, could immediately understand that the imminent danger approaching was due to the impious activity of hard-hearted Prajapati Daksha. He was so cruel that he would not save her youngest daughter, Sati, from the act of committing suicide in the presence of her sisters. Sati's mother could understand how much Sati had been pained by the insult of her father. Sati had been present along with the other daughters, and Daksha had purposely received all of them but her, because she happened to be the wife of Lord Shiva. This consideration convinced the wife of Daksha of the danger which was now ahead, and thus she knew that Daksha must be prepared to die for his heinous act. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prasuti Mishra Striya Udvigna Chita Uchur Vipako Vrijinas Yaivatasya Yat Pashyanti Nam Duhiti Nam Prajeshaha Sutam Satim Avadad Yavanagam. Prasuti, the wife of Daksha, along with the other women assembled, became very anxious and said, "This danger has been created by Daksha because of the death of Sati, who, even though completely innocent, quit her body as her sisters looked on." So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 5, Text Number 9, the chapter titled Frustration of the Sacrifice of Daksha. So, the context here is that Sati has already committed suicide and Lord Shiva became extremely angry knowing about the death of Sati. So Lord Shiva's anger went up to so much so that Lord Shiva created a demon out of his hair, and the demon was so fierce that he was equal to the power of 3 sun together and was ready to do any orders that Lord Shiva would execute, Lord Shiva would give. And whilst this were happening, there were also bad omens, and these bad omens gave a very clear-cut indication to Prasuti, who is wife of Daksha, that my husband is going to be killed any time now. And she knew that for sure, that he invited this trouble himself, and she is very much anxious about what is going to come up. In our discussions in the past, in this particular series of Daksha's episode, we did mention that how this Daksha's episode is going to be very much relevant for sadhakas, because there are a lot of practical lessons that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is teaching us through this episode. And eventually, the Daksha within us has to be killed. Otherwise, we will not make spiritual progress. In our discussion today, we will have 3 sets of reflections to churn this particular shloka in depth. Srila Prabhupada mentions Rajar Doshe Rajya Nashta Ginni Doshe Grihastha Nashta. If the king of the state is at fault, the whole state will suffer that effect of it. If the woman in the house is at fault, the entire family suffers for them. So in our discussion today, we will talk about sense of responsibility from 3 different angles. Because of the sense of responsibility of Daksha did not happen properly, what had happened? What was the sense of responsibility of a wife or a chaste woman? And what is the sense of responsibility of the spiritual authorities? And these 3 are very clearly indicated, and through this episode, very nicely explained. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, one who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So in this episode of Daksha's performing the 5 sacrifices, if you go back to 2nd chapter of the 4th canto, Daksha immediately expressed his anger, his frustration in the form of his diplomacy, duplicity, hypocrisy and gave a public speech and eventually insulted Lord Shiva. As a leader, he was Prajapati, he was having the power to create progenies. And he was a leader of the assembly and he was expected to act in a very, very responsible way. And in spite of understanding his own responsibility in a nice way, he misused the position, misused the power, misused the authority for fulfilling his personal agenda. And today, that propensity of him brought a full downfall for his existence. So this is very much applicable to each and every one of us in our personal lives. Because the society that we are living in, the education system that we are exposed to, the association that we generally get from the outside world, very much believe in four things. They believe external beauty. They believe in position by hook or crook. They believe in the wealth that you amass. And they believe the power you possess to control others. If somebody has got these four, he's an accomplished person. And for accomplishing these four, there is no restriction, whatever, however, wherever a person can go. There's nothing wrong. You can use diplomacy, you can use duplicity, you can use aristocracy, bureaucracy, hypocrisy, whatever crazy you want, democracy. We can eventually understand that we are going into the downward spiral to an extent that we are not only becoming a victim of our own action, but we are becoming a culprit for making our own generation member victim to this act. So Daksha, by him being irresponsible, he did not only bring downfall to himself, he brought downfall to his entire assembly, his family, to an extent to his own daughter, and finally he misused his power for uprooting dharma. So our first realization is about responsibility of a leader. The second reflection that we'll talk about is the responsibility of a married lady. We will not again get into the length and depth of it. Maybe somebody else would have discussed in the past, but at least I would like to touch base on it. And third is the responsibility of a spiritual authority in the society. So responsibility of a leader, every leader is given some sort of a facility, power, position, followers, wealth, because he is expected to use all of them for the protection of his subordinates. If all these things are utilized for personal agenda, then the downfall is definite. when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, he was such a Dharmaraj. He was such a righteous person that his chariot would actually move around 1 feet above the ground. I have not come across a reference of it, but I have heard from a source. They said that his chariot would move 1 feet above the ground because he was so righteous. Never once he did something that is against Dharma. So when Mahabharata war was going on, Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, please declare Ashwatthama has died. Because your words are so powerful, because you are Dharmaraj, nobody would cross verify what you say, and hence the disturbance in the Dharma Yuddha will be alleviated. Yudhishthira Maharaj denied, saying that I have never done anything like this, and that which will tarnish my credibility, I will not do it. He denied to Krishna. Then Krishna said, okay, I will do an alternative arrangement. And he killed an elephant by name Ashwatthama. Because the deal was, if Ashwatthama is killed, or Ashwatthama is not going to be there in the war field, Dronacharya made a vow that he would not come back. He would quit the war. So Krishna killed an elephant by name Ashwatthama and told Yudhishthira Maharaj, can you please loudly say, Ashwatthama the elephant died? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, obviously I can say, because it is truth. Ashwatthama ataha kunjaraha. So Krishna decided to make a plan so that when Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying Ashwatthama the elephant died, Krishna blew his conch shell in such a way that all the other people assembled heard Ashwatthama died. Because he blew conch shell during the instance when he said the elephant died. And naturally Dronacharya left the war field. But it was notified that after this episode, Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot kept to, you know, go on the ground. Maybe this story is not authentic or authentic, I'm not sure. But at least I want to drive home a message to understand the responsibility of a leader. So the principle that is being told, or what people naturally tend to believe or give a commentary about it, is because Ashwatthama said a lie, his chariot came to ground. Sorry, because Yudhishthira Maharaj said a lie, his chariot came to ground. But what interpretation devotees give, or what realization we can draw here, is denial to the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead brought his position down from Dharmaraj to an extent. Krishna asked him to say this and he didn't say it, and that brought in the downfall, or whatever you may call as a insult. So every leader is supposed to be leading the society the dependence in such a way that it is uplifting dharma, keeping the Supreme Lord in the center. So there are five aspects of responsibilities a leader need to take, and this is applicable not only for kings, this is applicable even for a simple yatra leader under whom a group of devotees are being cultivated. Because Krishna operates naturally through his representatives. King is considered Krishna's representative. Brahmana is considered Krishna's representative. Gurudev is considered Krishna's representative. And anybody who is repeating the orders of these three people are equally responsible because they are representatives of the representative. So Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us, Yare Deka Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh. When Srila Prabhupada gave an explanation to this, Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us to be responsible enough and preach Krishna's teachings. So there are five things a leader need to take care as a part of his responsibility. Again, this is not an exhaustive list of things, but these five things define at least a premises on which a leader need to function. In case of Daksha, he did not do any one of them, and that caused his own downfall. It is very easy to come to a position, but it is very, very difficult and important to maintain ourselves in that position. Today, the education system encourages us to somehow or other get success, because we all believe in a philosophy of looking beautiful rather than being beautiful. We all believe in a philosophy that if I am trying to be externally correct, I will be respected. We are a society of people where importance is given for things that we want to become rather than what we intend to do. So priority is given to become rather than to do. In the sense, I want to become a leader rather than be a leader. I want to become a guru rather than be a guru. I want to become a politician or a minister or a whatever rather than be one. The society is giving importance to looks versus being. All of us are pushed towards how do I look externally rather than how I am internally. The society is giving so much importance to how do I react rather than how do I reflect. If I don't react well, I am not called as an able leader. But leadership is about reflection. The society is giving importance to see things rather than to be seen. The society is giving importance to be served rather than to serve. So to become, to look like, to react, to see, to be served, they are all propensity of a boss. To do, to be, to reflect, to be seen and to serve are activities and thought process of a leader. Daksha did not do, he wanted to become. Daksha did not want to be, he wanted to look like. Daksha did not want to reflect, he wanted to react. Daksha did not want to be seen, Daksha did what he wanted to see. And Daksha did not want to be, you know, wanted to serve, he wanted to be served, and that caused him the downfall. So the five things that leader need to be responsible about. Number one, the facilities that he is bestowed with. He need to make sure the facilities are used one and only for the service that he is given to and not otherwise. Misuse of every facility causes a downfall of a leader. If you want to become a leader, beware that you will be given with a lot of facilities. A grihastha is considered as a leader of economic development in the Varnashrama civilization. Because no other Varna or no other ashrama can do economic development apart from grihasthas. So there is a facility a grihastha is bestowed with, that you can deal with money, you can deal with sex, you can deal with women, you can deal with different types of external social situations. For a brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, this adhikar is not given. They are expected only to serve the Supreme Lord unconditionally. A grihastha is also expected to do that, but then because of his social presence, he is expected to take care of certain external criteria also. So the first response, the first thing that a leader needs to be aware or taking care of is the facilities that he is given should be properly utilized. Otherwise, he brings in a downfall for himself. The 1% of facility is self-assumed for his own personal credibility causes the downfall. Second thing that he needs to be careful about is about his disposition. If a leader happens to be a pretender or happens to be suffering with the disorder called hypocrisy, then it is not only him who is going to suffer, he is going to bring in a downfall. So hence, a leader's language, a leader's attire, a leader's association, a leader's place of, you know, existence, a leader's advisory committee, all of them are very important, because these all make him not to be a pretender. If he is not conscious about these things, then he will definitely bring in a downfall. So the second thing that a leader is supposed to be responsible about is about his disposition and language that he uses. So if you are a pretender or if you are a hypocrite, then that brings in a downfall of a leader. If not today, for sure tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada was addressing a group of devotees in Mathura. I think I've shared this before. So Srila Prabhupada has come along with so much of his Western disciples. A huge stage was put up. All the Western disciples were on the stage next to Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is addressing a very huge audience, because that's the place where he was, you know, not very well respected before starting ISKCON. Now, when he went overseas, preached Krishna consciousness, established Krishna consciousness movement, fulfilled the mission of, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came back as an accomplished leader and he is addressing the forum. This Krishna consciousness movement is very, very successful. All my followers are very strictly practicing Krishna consciousness. Even if you give them tens and thousands of dollars to them, they will not get allured and still practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is giving a very fire talk. Then, when he finished the statement, all the devotees on the stage, they were beaming. Actually, they were very much, you know, happy that Srila Prabhupada gave a very good credibility, very good reward, very good you know, appreciation about them, that they will not be carried away by any allurement. When Prabhupada saw their reaction, Srila Prabhupada turned around and said, "Don't be too proud or too happy that nobody has yet offered you tens and thousands of dollars to you." So the intent is that the propensity within ourselves to be a pretender. Because of all the four defects, the cheating propensity within us does not go very soon. Of course, all the four doesn't go very soon. But the cheating propensity, if it is not very carefully avoided, not very carefully dealt with, can bring in our own downfall. So the second criteria, the second aspect of a leader that you need to be watching out for is about his disposition. Being a pretender or being a hypocrite is a disaster for his personal life, family life, and his community. The third aspect of a leader's lifestyle is about how does he handle mistakes, or how does he handle an action for that matter. So, in general, the Varnashrama civilization is arranged in such a way that Brahmanas draw up the rules and follow the rules. Kshatriya uses the rules and govern them as well as follow them. Vaishyas try to work under the governance of the Kshatriya, use those rules and try to do merchandising. And Shudra are the one who help all the three Varnas and eventually expected to follow the rules. We spoke in one of the earlier sessions that a Shudra is the one, I think in the second canto it is explained, when Lord Shiva was cursed, or Lord Shiva was humiliated by Daksha, he is telling Lord Shiva as uncivilian. Daksha made 7 to 8 allegations in the fourth canto, second chapter. One of the allegations Daksha gave towards Lord Shiva was that you are uncivilian. You are, you know, lower than a Shudra. And he gave that allegation and claimed that I should not have given my daughter to you. So the point is, a Shudra means one who has to follow the rules and regulations delineated by Brahmana and Kshatriya. So the point is, every Kshatriya is expected to work under a Brahmana. In a sense, every leader need to have a Brahminical association. In the sense, every one of us who are in the leadership responsibilities need to have an association where our activities are checked, our activities are assessed, our activities are validated, and our activities, any necessary recommendations are given for those activities. So if you want to be a leader, make sure you have a leader to look up to. You have an authority to surrender to. You have a person to obey to. Otherwise, we will be a headless civilization. A head without a head for him is actually a head-weighted head. So hence, the third aspect a leader need to be aware or careful is about how does he take decisions and perform actions. In Varnashrama system, it is always that a leadership assembly will have a Brahminical assembly. Chanakya Pandita was always there in Chandragupta's assembly as a consultant. And the most interesting aspect of that was Chanakya Pandita denied taking salary from Chandragupta. How much ever Chandragupta forced, Chanakya Pandita did not take salary. He said, the moment I draw salary from you, my opinion will be biased. I won't be able to give you righteous decision when you are making mistakes. So it is the duty of the entire society to take care of Brahmanas in such a way a Brahmana remains equipoised, because Brahmanas are the mouth of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord is non-partial, and hence a Brahmana should as well be non-partial. So the realization here is that if anybody wants to be a leader, the responsibility here is that his actions are supposed to be cross-validated, verified by another superior under whom this person functions. That is how our parampara system functioned. If in our parampara the chain is broken, Krishna wishes to intervene again. That's exactly what Krishna is telling to Arjuna, the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I gave this knowledge to Sun God, Vivaswan. I gave this knowledge to Manu. I gave this knowledge to Ikshvaku. In the due course of time, the chain broke, so I have to come and restate them. So hence the third realization is about how do we go about in action. So every leader needs to be responsible enough in making sure who is this advisor, who is this auditor, who is this quality control, who is this association. If the leader is in the association of prostitutes, if the leader is in the association of dull-headed Shudra, if the leader is in the association of sense gratifiers, then naturally the society will have a downfall. So the rules are formed by Brahmanas, governed by Kshatriya, used by Vaishya, and eventually a Shudra is supposed to be part of this in terms of keeping them up to help all the three Varnas. So hence a Brahmana is definitely needed to be around a Kshatriya leader. Or if you want to be a leader, choose your association correctly. Fourth aspect of responsibility of a leader is because he takes advice from a Brahmana, because he takes consulting from a self-realized soul, he cannot put the blame to the self-realized soul. So the fourth aspect of it is how much we are taking responsibility of our actions. In general, what do? Whenever there is a mistake, whenever there is a problem, we try to put the blame on the person who suggested, put the blame on somebody who was involved, put the blame on somebody who is innocent, so that our credibility is intact. So whilst everybody need a Brahmana to consult, but the responsibility of our action lies with the individual leader, not that he cannot blame because the Brahmana suggested you did this. Ramananda Rai was a governor in Prataparudra's assembly. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he had a very long chat with Ramananda Rai. And the Ramananda Rai immediately decided to join Mahaprabhu's party and take part in his missionary activities. Prataparudra, when he heard this message, he was so happy. He was so much pleased that he sent a message to Ramananda Rai. My dear Rai, I am so pleased. I am so unfortunate that I could not have an association with Mahaprabhu for an extended period in time like any other associates. I am a worldly minded person. Just because of the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I got a small stint. But then you are so merciful that Mahaprabhu could spend so much of time entrust upon you a responsibility. Because Mahaprabhu made different authorities to speak on different subject matter. He told Haridas Thakur to speak on holy name. He told Gopalabhatta Goswami to speak on deity worship. He told Rupa Goswami to compile on various aspects of devotional techniques and technology or devotional aspects. And he told Ramananda Rai to explain about the purpose of human form of life, and he had a very long dialogue. So when Prataparudra heard about Mahaprabhu's association with Ramananda Rai, even though Ramananda Rai was his governor, Prataparudra declared, from today onwards, for the rest of your life, you need not report to office. Monthly salary will be credited. You will be given a special bungalow. Your travel arrangements will be taken care of, and you are free to go out and preach without any anxiety of maintaining your family. This is the duty of a leader. The point I was trying to say is that a leader need to take responsibility of his actions, both from the perspective of the decision that he takes, whether it's good or bad. And if it is good, he should give credit to his consultants and advisors and brahmanas. And if it is bad, he fixes under the direction of those authorities. And second is, he need to be definitely taking care of brahmanas around him to such a way that they always remain in his surrounding for the welfare of the entire civilization. So the fourth point hence is, we should, if at all anybody is a leader, should take responsibility of our actions. And last but not least, the fifth one is, every leader should be ready to ask for forgiveness if he has made a mistake. And by asking for forgiveness, he should lead by example, and that will encourage everybody else to follow that. And these five things Daksha did not do. So we saw two sets of five things as a responsible leader. Who is not a responsible leader and who is a responsible leader? So I'll just summarize this first realization about what it means to be taking responsibility of our action. If it is not, then it brings in a downfall. So this entire frustration that is going to happen in the fire sacrifice arena, the demon that was the agent that was created by Lord Shiva's anger, the entire assembly is going to have a big chaos. From the next verse till the next end of this chapter, all we are going to see is just bloodbath. People are going to be killed and you know chopped off and severed, and so many things are going to happen now. That is because of these irresponsible actions. So the first set of 5 points that we said is, a leader is the one who wish to do rather than to become. A leader is the one who wish to be rather than to look like. A leader is the one who wish to reflect rather than to react. A leader is the one who wish to be seen rather than wish to see. A leader is the one who wish to serve rather than to be served. And hence, every leader, every person who is having responsibilities of handling himself and some dependents, need to take care of his facilities, take care of his disposition, language, dress, association, etc. Take care of how does he take actions, in the sense of having an advisor and spiritual association and seniors, and taking responsibility of his actions. And last but not least, be ready to ask for forgiveness. So if a leader takes care of these things, then his leadership is very good. Prabhupada tells in another lecture that when Rama Rajya was going on, one father came crying and giving allegations to Lord Ram. He said, "My dear Lord, there is something wrong in your ruling. It is because my son died. My son, who is younger to me, died ahead of me. And hence, there is something wrong. Because in a righteous kingdom, everything will be perfect. Seasons will be perfect. All the animals will be cordial to each other. All the people will be, helping each other. There will be harmony. Everything is very, very peaceful under the leadership of a bona fide king." So this is our first realization. So we see here the frustration in the sacrifice of Daksha has happened because of Daksha's own behavior. When Prasuti is, predicting, when Prasuti is anxious, she is very clear that this downfall has been brought in exclusively because of Daksha's behavior. If you see these points that I just said, you can apply it on Daksha, it will be very clear. Daksha misused the facility. Daksha was in hypocrisy. Daksha did not have anybody to whom he can report to, consult to, had a superior. Daksha did not take responsibility over his action, and Daksha was not ready to ask for forgiveness. And Daksha always wanted to become successful. Daksha always wanted to look like he is a popular person. Daksha was reacting. Daksha wished to see things successful under his authority, and Daksha wanted everybody to serve him, and that is why this whole downfall happened. The second realization is about responsibility of a spiritual authority. I'll come to the responsibility of the wife little later, because I'm seeing the time is closing to end the class. So just in case if I'm not able to talk about that part, at least we can finish. Responsibilities of a spiritual authority. This Daksha Prajapati's episode is one very good episode which teaches us not only of bad action, it also teaches of how responsible leaders are allowed to react or act in a specific way. So the anger exhibited by Lord Shiva, even though he was named as Shiva, auspicious, Asutosh, one who is easily pleased, and a personality who is very composed, calm and very humble devotee, how come he could react in such a manner? So what are the responsibilities of a spiritual leader? Number one, responsibility of a spiritual leader is definitely exhibit very clear-cut neutrality and not show any partiality. A spiritual authority cannot become partial to anybody based on any external or personal agenda. The moment a spiritual authority becomes partial, then there is a downfall of dharma. Here, the point of partiality is, you know, definitely debatable. Partiality here refers to how do we handle people equally. So if anybody is following any principles, they will be given the reward. So Krishna is calling himself impartial. But we also know Krishna is the highest partial person. I'll explain this part. This is not an allegation, this is a glorification. I gave this explanation in one of the earlier classes. I'm not sure if this was to this forum. A math teacher is organizing a math tuition program, is conducting a math class on calculus, teaching calculus. The class is having 60 children. The math teacher is teaching differentiation and integration. She's saying this is tough. So anybody who wish to, you know, learn more, you can come for an extra class that I'm planning to do it on a weekend because the exams are around the corner. Of all the 60 students who heard this announcement, 30 of them went for the special extra class. And she took 2 hours of extra class, and after the class is over, she did say, if you have still some doubts, because exam is around the corner, you are welcome to, you know, come and personally meet me. I can give personal time to clarify some doubts. Of the 30 students who went for the special class, 6 of them went and took some personal time of the teacher and learned more. The next working day in the classroom, when the teacher was addressing the entire classroom, obviously the teacher would look on eye-to-eye contact more with the 6 students who took more interest in learning rather than the entire class. So this may be called as partiality by all those non-attendees, but it is not called partiality. So when Krishna says, I'm impartial, it is like a teacher declaring to the entire classroom, you are welcome to come and take my session. And when Krishna is giving special attention and called Bhakta Vatsala, it is like a teacher giving eye-to-eye contact to those 6 students. So a spiritual authority need to be acting in the same line. For sure, he cannot show any partiality and will be ready to punish or reward. Depends upon the, you know, action. The second responsibility of a spiritual authority is that he or she need definitely show his subordinate by his personal conduct and action. Cannot expect, hey, I am somebody, you better follow what I say. Krishna never once In the conversation between Arjuna, he never once dictated, hey, my dear Arjuna, you know what? I am damn supreme personality of Godhead. Better do what I say. The moment Arjuna said, I will not fight, in the beginning of the second chapter, Krishna could have directly jumped to the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, showed his Virat Roop, and immediately said, Arjuna, better fight, otherwise you know who I am. No. Rather, you read the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is telling to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, I have no reason to perform duties. I have no reason to follow rules and regulations. I have no reason to uphold, you know, certain types of activities. But still I am doing it so that the society at large will follow. And he also gave example of Janaka Maharaj. So the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly says, I am not just stating what I want you to do, I am also doing what I am doing. So the second responsibility of a spiritual authority is that you need to show by your action, not just only by your words. Because nobody will, or not everybody will, try to see us, I mean, hear us, they will always wish to see. So by if you wish to become a spiritual authority, it is extremely important to show by action. The third responsibility of a spiritual authority is to ensure, because Srila Prabhupada did this, whatever I am telling is, it is exactly executed by Srila Prabhupada. So if at all we want to follow the spiritual process, we simultaneously become responsible for our action and others' action. So second responsibility of a spiritual leader is not to become a dictator, rather become a role model. So the third responsibility is to ensure that when there is a need for taking stern action, stern actions are taken. This is exhibited by Mahaprabhu, this is exhibited by Prabhupada, this is exhibited by various spiritual authorities, including Narada Muni and Lord Shiva. Because stern actions are not because of cruelty and animosity. It is because of, again, compassion. There are plenty of examples. Nalakuvera Manigriva, Narada Muni, who is the most merciful devotee, punished Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Lord Shiva punished Daksha. In Prithu Maharaj's episode, King Vena was punished by Brahmanas. Brahmanas went up to an extent to kill King Vena. Srila Prabhupada gave a fantastic purport there that it is the duty of the Brahmana to uphold Dharma. And when they saw King Vena is really uprooting them left, right, center, they really wanted to, you know, fix the situation. So they went and killed him. And churned from his own thighs and, you know, brought Prithu Maharaj. Just to make sure that the seed of Dhruva Maharaj is still need to continue, because that seed has very good power. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took stern action. He is considered as Mahavadanya. When Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, this Brahmachari who was accompanying him went on to see Yamuna, where everybody went and said that Kaliya, Krishna is appearing on Kaliya and dancing. So this Brahmachari who accompanied Mahaprabhu to serve him, he told Mahaprabhu, I have seen Krishna dancing on the hood of Kaliya. Actually, what was going on? In the middle of the night, a boatman in the boat with a lantern light, you know, rowing the boat in the middle of Yamuna. Because of the pitch dark, they saw the two eyes as the eyes of Kaliya, the boatman as Krishna, and the boat as the hood of Kaliya. And everybody started to see this, surprising scene. So this Brahmachari came and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a tight slap. Mahaprabhu told Chota Haridas he can never ever be part of his Sangha. So taking a stern action where need to be taken is important. Otherwise, it will be an opportunity for defaulters to continue. The fourth responsibility of a leader is he should be ready to forgive. It is not that, you know, we are just taking action. Our intention is that when the need is there, he is ready to forgive the person when the other person is asking for forgiveness. And last but not least, it's a responsibility of a spiritual authority to ensure the right Siddhanta is presented without any fear. Even if it means that popularity is at stake. If a spiritual authority does not do this, then that spiritual movement will have a downfall. So, in our spiritual journey, this Krishna consciousness movement is so nice, is so great for us to practice Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada was simultaneously a very good leader, as well as he was a spiritual authority to show us what it means to be both. So, I will not have time for discussing the third part. Krishna willing, sometime in the future we can talk about it. So, to summarize our discussion, this King Daksha's episode is a very interesting episode where we need to learn a lot more lessons for our own personal journey in Krishna consciousness. So, from this Daksha's episode, the current context we discussed where Lord Shiva is angry to kill Daksha and Prasuti is already seeing a bad omen, and hence we wanted to analyze this current shloka to an extent to understand what are the responsibilities of a leader and what are the responsibilities of a spiritual authority and what are the responsibilities of a married woman. The reason I was going to discuss married woman was about Sati's action, because this entire episode, even though it is because of Daksha's bad behavior, this could have been avoided if Sati obeyed Lord Shiva. Anyway, so we won't have time to go over that. So the points that we discussed as a first realization, the responsibilities of the leader were: a leader is supposed to be interested in doing rather than becoming, interested in being rather than looking like. He should be reflecting rather than reacting. He should be seen rather than to see. And it is about to serve rather than to be served. Hence, a leader should take care of the facilities that are given to him carefully. He should be taking care of his disposition carefully. He should make sure that his actions are supported by noble views of a Brahmana. He should take responsibility over his actions, and he or she is supposed to take supposed to be ready to ask for forgiveness. And with respect to the spiritual authority, a spiritual authority is the one who is supposed to be non-partial, and he is the one who is supposed to be a role model, but what he behaves in the way what he speaks. And at the same time, you need to be stern. Prabhupada says a devotee is as soft as a lotus petal and as hard as thunderbolt. So hence, be ready to take stern action. And at the same time, he's the one who's ready to be ready to forgive. And last but not least, he should be ready to talk about the right Siddhanta without any fear of popularity and people's opinion, so that the righteousness is established. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Guruji, Koti Koti, Danvat Pranam to your Seva, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Shishi Radha or Shishi Bhagavatam ki jai. How nicely you explain about the spiritual leader, a grahastha leader and grahastha wife. Like, Prabhuji, thank you very much for such a wonderful class. Hari Bol, Danvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for once again very wonderful lecture full of knowledge. I have no questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna. My gratitude
Hare Krishna.
To you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. Prabhu, one question I had while I was listening to you. So we also know about, Krishna mentions about Sthita Prajna, right?
Yes.
So Sthita Prajna and leader, if we compare, is it same, Prabhu? Because devotee also tries to become that stage, right?
Yes.
Is it part of it or just wanted to know?
Yeah, Sthita Prajna is actually also one type of leader. See, there are, in terms of Krishna conscious leadership, there are two categories. One is called Bhajananandi category, another one is called Goshtyanandi category. Both are bona fide, both are trying to help and practice Krishna consciousness. Bhajananandi is the one who's preaching by his own practice only. And which used to be the case of Rasikananda, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. You would never see them making a lot of disciples, traveling all over the world, beginning preachings. Goshtyanandi is the one who takes an extra austerity, go out of the way to deliver, help, preach, people. So Sthita Prajna is the one who is single-pointedly focused, and Krishna very nicely explains about his mood and mindset, how he doesn't have any other side agenda but for glorifying the Supreme Lord. So both Bhajananandi and Goshtyanandi fall in the category of Sthita Prajna, just that both are two different moods. And according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who is a recent Acharya before Prabhupada, has very strongly recommended us that we are all supposed to be a Goshtyanandi, because the society is going into a downward spiral. Hence, the more we brace our sleeves up and go and help, the more the devotees can be won over. So Sthita Prajna is definitely a leader, but what type of Sthita Prajna you become matters a lot. And since we are a preaching movement, it's either way is fine, but recommendation is as much as possible you be a Goshtyanandi. Am I making sense?
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Any other questions or comments?
Please accept our humble obeisances, Prabhu Ji, and Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Okay. There are no other questions or comments. We can end the session today. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you.